No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
You are free to go. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about our least favorite aspects and most debatable opinions of our most favorite scary movies.
We fight over our favorites.
My name's Jesse.
My name's Travis. And unfortunately, it's November.
It's November 1st when we're recording this. We are very tired.
Yeah.
But in a good way. Like, October's just been a busy month. We're excited to slow down a little bit. I think we've got some fun stuff coming up this month, and we're excited to kind of really get our shit together.
Yeah, October has been very chaotic. We haven't done more episodes than normal, but we've had a lot of outside things.
No, we had two bonus episodes this month.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so we've done a lot more
episodes
than normal.
And then we had the convention. We did our Scream screen.
Yeah.
Which, check our website if you need recommendations on movies to watch. Just because it's November doesn't mean you can't keep watching horror movies. No. I mean, you're here with us. Hi. Thanks again for that. So, you know, go get some of your recommendations from our website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com. Just look under our Scream screen. It's in our blog section. I don't know why I didn't put it in the review section. Probably because I'm a fucking idiot. It's fine.
It's new. I forgive you.
I can go and change it, maybe. I don't know. If you don't understand our rating system, that's fine, because we're mostly making it up as we went along. You can email us, DM us, whatever, for clarification. I'll go ahead and plug our socials here at the beginning now, because it kind of lends its way easily.
Yeah.
Our email is leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com. Our Instagram is leastfavoritescarymoviepodcast. Our Twitter is leastfavepod, and our Facebook page is just our name.
And that's that.
Yeah, that's all of them. Yeah. We have a TikTok, technically. I am very sporadic about checking it.
Yeah, it's it's a thing.
It's a thing. When we're in the mood to do it, it's kind of all over the place. We do have a plan for it come the new year.
We got some stuff.
But I'm not going to, like, talk myself into a corner in case I decide that I hate the idea I have. So
yeah, but we're not here to talk about our TikTok account. We're here to talk about a spooky movie, and I am sorry for those like Jesse who aren't Eli Roth fans, but this is another Eli Roth movie.
It is.
And we're talking about Hostel today.
We are talking about Hostel. Now, I'm going to say this because I know I said a lot of stuff about Eli Roth the last time we talked about him, which was in Cabin Fever. And I'm just going to reiterate that I totally respect what he's done for horror. I totally respect that he's a geek for the genre. Some of his on-set practices I'm a little iffy about.
Yeah, we'll try not to like tread on, you know, familiar territory with this, but it's some of the stuff's going to naturally come up.
Yeah. So. If you want to hear a more detailed discussion about all of that, go check out our Cabin Fever episode. It was like over the summer.
It was in June. I think it was number 27. Yeah. I was looking today.
Okay. Okay.
I'm prepared, baby.
By the way, this is number 50. This is number 50.
Yay. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Thanks for being here again. Yeah. I'm just going to keep saying that. Like, thanks for being here.
Hostel is a very special episode then.
Yeah. So, but just bearing in mind, and like we talk about this all the time, we're both big horror movie fans ourselves. And the whole point of our podcast is that different people like different things in a horror movie. Like, it's good to have this kind of friendly discourse where you can talk about what you do and don't like, and that everybody's opinion is valid as long as you're not an asshole and directly attacking people.
Yeah.
And this, my opinions on this movie are not related to Eli Roth. They're just related to the movie.
Cool. Yeah, we'll keep discussion.
So, yeah, like, it's an I statement type of podcast, you know? Like, I feel this way about this movie, not Eli Roth did this to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's the right way to do it.
We're as objectively subjective as we can be here. At least we have what's your least favorite scary movie.
All right.
Give us some information on this. By the way, we have a Blu-ray version of this.
Yeah, we have.
Is this one you ordered, or did you find it at Half Price Books?
Half Price Books is where we got this.
Wow, yeah. That was a good find.
Yeah, they have some good stuff out there. It's, you know, They even have Scream Factory stuff for those. Like, the guy was telling us all about it whenever we were checking out.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got the guy that we did when we were checking out.
You got the guy. I got the person that I was checking out, and I had
pieces.
It's a four movie collection called Bloodbath, and it has Pieces and like four other movies. And the cover is, I don't even think it's from a movie. It's just a woman laying like in a tub covered in blood. And I sensed judgment. So,
I mean, we chose to willingly own Pieces, and I think that warrants judgment.
Yeah. I don't think so.
It does.
Pieces is great. We'll talk about that eventually.
We will.
But Hostel. Let's actually get on with the,
all right,
with the movie today. So Hostel.
2005.
Yes, it came out in 2005. Kind of. That's when it had its festival debut.
You are already pointing aggressively at me. This is going to be a contentious episode. Yes, it came out in 2005. But.
Yes. But technically.
Speaking of butt, there's a lot of butt in this movie.
There is a lot of butt, yeah. There's a lot of nudity. If that makes you uncomfortable, don't watch this movie. But yeah. Anyways, it came out in 2006 in January. January 6th, I believe. So close to your birthday.
Oh my goodness.
You almost had a birthday horror movie that you could have went to.
Oh man.
You want to know something fun?
What?
My dad took me to see this whenever it came out.
What did he think about it?
What did
you think about watching this with your dad?
It was awkward. So 2006 January, I would have been 14, actually 13. Yeah, I would have been 13. So I must have seen the trailer and was really into it. And I was like, I got it. Can we please go watch this movie? And I guess I was like, Dad's like, okay, fine, I'll take you.
Okay, but at least it was your dad and not your mom.
Yeah. I've watched some awkward movies with him, and I just remember like a lot of the nudity scenes. I was wearing a hat at the time, and like, just for his sake, like, I felt weird looking, so I would like tip my hat down and just like not look at anything.
I watched this movie with my mom at home on DVD, and that is when I learned the phrase "fucking A."
Yeah.
Because at the end, when the people get hit by the car, you know, when he's like speeding towards the train station and sees Svetlana, Natalia, and Alex, and he just like hits them, my mom went, "Fucking A!" And I was like, oh man, new vocabulary word.
How old were you?
14, I guess.
Oh, so around the same age. Yeah. So whenever it came out in
yeah.
the media. Okay, cool. Yeah. This movie dethroned the Chronicles of Narnia from the box office.
We did see Chronicles of Narnia in theater.
I saw that on a school field trip. But yeah. So yeah, in the theater and also in home release. So like whenever they both came out simultaneously, Hostel beat it both times. So I know that was a big movie too. But yeah, it came out in 2006. Had an estimated budget of $4.8 million. In the opening weekend, it made 19.5, and worldwide gross overall was 81.9. So this thing did pretty well.
It did. It's very notorious.
Yeah.
It's one of the early torture porn. Also just kind of porn for the first 45 minutes.
It starts the first 20 to 30 minutes of this movie is basically like kind of the
boobs.
Dude bro, like, yeah, backpacking movie where people are having sex and it's just a lot of nudity, but
you know, having sex, questioning their sexuality,
yeah,
smoking weed, getting crabs.
Well, thinking
or jock
they have
itch.
Crabs, yeah. That's a deleted scene too, so I don't even think they brush on that in the actual thing.
I kind of wish they had.
Yeah, this isn't a popular movie though in the Czech Republic and Iceland.
Well, okay, so
Iceland was actually cool with it. I'm sorry.
Slovakia, probably?
Slovakia and the Czech Republic.
Which used to be Czechoslovakia, so basically
yeah,
two halves of a whole.
I mean, understandable, because they were upset that it painted out their country to be, like, poor and just, you know, underdeveloped.
Which is really funny, because in the behind-the-scenes stuff, Eli Roth was talking about how fucking beautiful Prague is, which is where they were shooting.
No, it started off with Eli Roth complaining about the toilets and how if you shit you can feel the heat coming from the toilet.
Yeah, well, that too.
Yeah.
But like, I know the actress that plays Natalia was talking behind the scenes. She was like, we do not have child gangs demanding bubblegum in Slovakia, and nobody on set believes me.
Those kids were actually like street kids. Like, they weren't cast. Like, there was just, you know, there's a whole behind the features. Like,
yeah, but they weren't going around mugging people for bubblegum.
Maybe not. Maybe they were. I don't know. They wanted... What does she know? You know? So, yeah, it was very, it's very popular, but not with those two people for obvious reasons.
Two people.
Yeah, those two people.
Mr. Czech and Mr. Slovakia. They're not fans of this movie.
Yeah, those two guys, those prudes. It was produced by Tarantino. So the way that this movie actually came to be was Eli Roth was planning on making a documentary on like vacation murders. So like people like he came across like a website on like a Thai website that people could apparently purchase people to buy and murder. Yes, you've raised your hand.
I literally did raise my hand. Yes. I do this in casual conversation all the time. Our friends and family can confirm.
I can confirm.
Does Eli Roth just like for funsies browse the dark web? Because that's dark web shit.
Yeah, that's dark web shit. And he, they don't know if this website was like legitimate or not. But naturally, what he did was he showed it to Quentin Tarantino. And
as you do.
And in doing so, they both kind of were like, all right, well, this is kind of dangerous to research. Let's make it into this instead.
I'm sorry, but I want to hear a conversation between the two of them. Because I can see...
Oh, there's a whole series of that in his show on AMC.
Is it them talking to each other?
Yeah, there's even a podcast episode of it. They upload like where it's unedited. I've listened to the episode. Quentin Tarantino knows his horror.
Oh, I'm sure Quentin Tarantino does. I firmly understand why they would get along. I just feel like they have two very different styles of speaking.
He's very much. They're both very much excited, but they have like different levels of energy. Quentin Tarantino is like kind of manic.
Yeah.
I feel like Eli Roth is more like, he's excited, but, you know, he's controlled. Yeah, he's a geek
bro.
Exactly.
He's a geek bro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. He is a bro.
Yeah, he's a bro for sure. So. Yeah. It's very obvious with these movies and all of the dialogue and characters.
Like, all the behind-the-scenes stuff with him, too. Like, he immediately, he's like, so taking a dump in Prague. And he uses the word dump.
To be fair, I thought that was funny.
I mean,
I laughed immediately whenever we let off the special feature. We're like, all right, so we're taking a shit here in Prague.
Dump. He says dump.
Yeah. Okay. We're taking a dump here in Prague.
Oh, my God. Taking a deuce?
Taking a deuce.
I had my COVID booster last week, and I had a fever and was not allowed to go to work the next day. So I did what I do on a sick day and watched 10 hours of Wife Swap. And Travis just joined in on the marathon when he got home from work. And there was one kid whose name was Deuce. And Travis cannot get over it.
That show, I think they, like, one of the criteria for a family is dumb child names. Because that's, like, pretty much any time I watch that show with you, one of the kids has a stupid name. It's confirmed, like, I think that's part of it. I'm just going to run with that. Not look it up. last fact before we actually get into the movie is the we thought that Greg Nicotero, you know, our guy
Greggy Nix,
yeah, he we thought that he was involved because in the opening credits, like, his name is actually listed there, but I did some digging and it's really him and Howard Berger's effects team, KNB FX.
yeah.
So I didn't catch, I saw the makeup of them putting it, like, whenever the guy was doing Canna. Her makeup. That guy, I saw him in a lot of the shots with that. And I tried to find who he was, but I couldn't find him. There's so many people listed on IMDb, no pictures. I was like Google searching some of these people. I couldn't find anything.
Hold on. I want to see what he looks like.
All right. Do you want me to pause?
No.
Okay.
I can type really fast. It's fine. I'm going really fast. I think it was Howard Berger, because look. Just, you know, subtract 15 years.
Maybe. Kind of, it looks a little bit like him.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. No, actually, no. I don't think it's him.
Well.
It looks close.
Okay. But yeah, I can see, too, like, if you co-own an effects studio, like, it would make sense to not have both of you going to the same production, because Greg Nicotero has been crazy busy since he was 17 and George Romero convinced him to drop out of medical school.
Yeah, we learned that
this
past weekend.
Yeah, just a plug for Daddy Shudder once again.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a cease and desist letter from Craig Angler.
If you haven't gotten one from Kane yet, you're not going to get one from them.
Joe Bob did a, like, because Shudder is partnered with it. It's under the same branch as AMC.
AMC owns Shudder.
AMC owns Shudder. Okay.
Yeah.
So, whatever. However that stuff works. And they wanted to, like, plug the last half of the last season of The Walking Dead. I don't know. Anyway, so they had a surprise, like, last drive-in special of the first two episodes of The Walking Dead. And Greg Nicotero came on and talked about all kinds of stuff. Yeah, so go check that out.
Yeah, like, they need our plug.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's on Shudder or AMC+.
Yeah.
Not or. It's on both.
Yeah, it's on both. Well, that's all I've got for that. Okay. We have some more facts that I'm going to sprinkle into the conversation as we approach those.
Yeah. Yeah. So. With the behind the scenes stuff and all the deleted scenes and everything. Yeah. Which I'm going to say this. I think this is really cool. And I wish that more filmmakers did this. When we had the deleted scenes, like, there was a little factoid about why the scene, like, was cut.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of, like, a wall of text explaining, like, it's Eli Roth. Like, this right here is where his, you know, his love for movies and cinema, that shines. He's like, this is, like, I love this scene, but, you know, shit, like, you know, we already explained this later. And
he's a hard worker.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. And he puts everything he has into it.
Yeah.
And then he brings his family along so his brother can film him doing everything.
Is that his brother that's doing
all Gabriel
that?
Roth.
Oh, and his mom and dad were on set too.
Well, I mean, two of their sons were there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Gabriel Roth is the one who did the behind the scenes for Cabin Fever too.
He's also the guy in that one shot too, of the guy that killed people. You know, whatever. Yeah,
the whole Roth family looks so bizarrely alike.
Yeah, they do. Okay, so Hostel. What did you think of this one, Jesse?
Okay. This is a tricky one for me, because I remember when it first came out, being really into it, because, you know, it was something that wasn't super common at the time yet. Like, we had this in Saw, and then it kind of kicked off the whole...
I think Saw came out before this.
Yeah.
So Saw kind of kicked that off, and then people were... This is like the... it's kind of coming up at this point.
Yeah. So I remember... I remember liking it the first time I watched it. And it's one that I've watched several times throughout the years. I've seen the entire trilogy several times. But I, like, as I've gotten older and more aware of what I like in a story, I like this movie less and less.
Okay.
It feels very disjointed to have. Like, it just feels like the first half is all partying and tits and ass, which, like, you know, we have fun with that. That's good. That's valid. But, like, it feels very disjointed. Like, it feels like a party movie, and then all of a sudden it becomes a horror movie halfway through.
He wanted to use those two things as, like, a way to, like, juxtapose. So, like, he wanted,
I get it. Like,
he wanted to show, like, the extremity of sexuality with everything, like, with them in the red light district, with that.
Because,
I mean, like, the rooms are very similar to, like, what happens later on.
Well, and I get it. Like,
that was, like, supposed to be the extremity of violence at the end.
Yeah, we've got self-indulgence to both extremes.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. We've got, like, a weird kind of...
Like, it's not there just for, like, you know, tits and ass, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. And it's a very, like... Like, they go to the red light district and they're using their American tourist dollars to, you know, party it up with the ladies. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we see the flip side of it. All of these rich businessmen using their money to, like...
To kill Americans.
Kill. Yeah. So, I get what the purpose was. I just don't have... fun watching it because it gets very, very repetitive. You know what I mean? There's only so many times you can watch these kids go to a club and like it just is like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And then also I feel like the wrong character survived. I feel like it should have been Josh. He was a more interesting character. He was showing more growth earlier on.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was meant to like subvert that
expectation.
I think so
too. Josh definitely has, like, he fits the mold of your character, your main character in the first half of the movie. Which, I kind of like when that stuff happens.
Whenever. I like that, but it's just so hard to root for Paxton. Like, you root for him just by way of the fact that you don't want to root for the evil, torturey businessmen. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a likable character.
Yeah, I get it.
So, you know?
So, what do you rate it?
I think I'm gonna give it a 4.
A 4. I kind of felt a 4 coming from you there. That's the body language of a 4.
Yeah, like I said, it's a technically well-made movie. And it's, you know, the work that went into writing the script to make everything make sense and be cohesive, all of the editing, the production, all of that, I respect it. It's not my jam. I don't like the pacing of it. I don't feel creeped out until halfway through. Like, that 45 minutes is too much exposition. This movie is an hour and a half, and I was shocked when I saw it was an hour and a half. I firmly, in my brain, feel like it's a two-hour movie.
Really?
Yes. And I don't mean that in a good way.
I don't think it takes that long for it to get to that part. I feel like it's more around, I'd say like 30, 35 minutes maybe. I don't know.
I mean, that's still really close though. Like,
yeah, I mean, but you know.
That's a lot of time. I don't know. I felt like it was kind of unnecessary.
Okay. I really like this movie. And I've always liked it. I know a lot of people aren't necessarily a fan of the torture porn stuff. Torture porn, I feel like they use that as a term for the genre, like in a way to discredit it. But then people have kind of embraced it and it's become like torture porn. Like people are like, okay, cool. Like it's...
Yeah, like it feels voyeuristic to watch stuff like this. And I don't think people really like to admit that to themselves.
Yeah.
And like I like torture porn.
I do too.
Like, and that's kind of one of the things about horror in general is you're confronting ugly shit. And if you're not confronting ugly shit in your horror, I mean, like, I'm not going to tell anybody how to watch their horror movies, but I get more out of it when I'm like, ooh, this stuff's ugly.
Yeah. Like, I enjoy horror movies that, you know, that are fun and, you know, they're scary and they're creepy, but they're not grotesque, but... Like, this type of movie right here, Hostel, it plays on a different type of fear for me. Like, it plays off of, like, actually visually seeing all the shit that's happening. The settings are extremely creepy. Like, the way that everything, they did a great job getting locations and, like, getting everything set up. Because it gives you, like, I don't know, just, like, this feeling of hopelessness.
Well, especially, like, they shot in an abandoned hospital.
Exactly, yeah.
That's... Abandoned hospitals are fucking creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, non-abandoned hospitals are fucking creepy.
So, I mean, and I understand that the first half of the movie is a lot of just, like, the same shit, them partying, whatever. You're not really getting a lot of character development, but you're getting a little bit of something. It's at least giving you something. It would maybe be better if the characters were more likable.
Yes.
Like, I don't really care that these guys... The one that I cared the most about was Josh, and even he's kind of the... You know?
Yeah, I wanted to see some more because there was definitely some of him questioning his sexuality, and I would have liked to explore that a little bit more because Oli and Paxton are like trying to push the sex workers at him.
And he's not comfortable with it.
And he's not comfortable with it. And you know, you kind of hear the like recent breakup type thing, but then he's got a few intense moments with the Dutch businessman. Train guy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he's credited as.
I know he's credited as Dutch businessman. I wrote him as train guy in my notes throughout.
I'm sorry. I haven't even read the cast yet. I'll do that after I finish my thoughts here.
Okay.
But
Jesus Christ, Travis.
I'm sorry. I had a lot to say at the beginning, and we kind of have gotten a little bit derailed here. So let's try and get on track here. All right. So I think that I would give this one, I would give it a 7. Yeah, because it lacks a lot in the character, but the set pieces and everything, like the setting, just the gore that you see, everything looks amazing, and it's all really creepy. It kind of, I don't know, it just plays off of those like moments, those things that make me feel uncomfortable, and that's kind of nice to get from horror occasionally, like actually being uneasy.
Okay.
That's like the intended effect.
That brings our average to 5.5.
It sounds about right for this.
Should I say something controversial? Should I say it now? Should I say it after you read cast and crew? Or should I save it for the very end of this episode?
I don't know. How controversial is this? I'm curious. Let's go.
I think Hostel 3 is better than this one.
Oh, fuck. You did tell me about that. Yeah. Hostel 3 sucks ass, dude. It's not a good movie. It's not even objectively...
Like, I enjoy watching it more than I enjoy watching this one.
That's, you know, okay. Maybe we'll cover the whole series now. I don't know.
Just like randomly sprinkling. Oh, okay, it's a hostile day.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll surprise you. But okay. Yeah, that's stupid. I'm sorry, but Hostel 3 sucks. You made me watch it here recently, and again, I was like, yeah.
You fell asleep and then like went to the bedroom and I followed you in there and then I put it on and watched it from the beginning.
Why'd you watch it from the beginning?
Because you fell asleep really early on, and when it was first on, you were like talking over it.
Talking about how stupid it is?
Yeah.
You think the characters are bad in this movie. The characters in that movie are terrible.
I like the pacing's a lot better for me. I like the twist at the end.
Okay, that's another episode discussion right here. All right, so let's go into the cast. We have Paxson. He's played by Jay Hernandez. Josh is played by Derek Richardson. Ollie is played by Aethor Gudjonsson. I'm going to fuck up a lot of these names here because a lot of them are like locals to where they filmed. Natalia is Barbara Nedejakova. Svetlana is played by Jana Katabakova.
Everybody, you're doing really good.
Okay, I, you know, and it always happens with the movies that I open with. I always get the ones with like the most difficult to pronounce names.
Most difficult for you because you're not European.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
I mean, Travis is doing his best, but also check out IMDb if you're not understanding what he's saying.
Yeah, I think I can get these last two though. This one's easy. It's Canna is played by Jennifer Lim. And last but not least, the Dutch businessman is played by Jan Vlasak.
I feel like it's probably pronounced Jan.
Jan Vlasak. Okay. I'm so sorry. But those are the people.
We've got an opening scene. Opening credits, I mean.
And we were talking about opening credits in our last episode. I love the opening credits to this one.
I did not like it purely for the fact that we had it on the menu screen of the Blu-ray for like 10 minutes before we got going watching it. So this whistling will haunt my dreams tonight.
That's awesome.
Not in a good way.
Intended effect. Yeah, it opens on the factory where we see the events take place towards the end of the film. And it's just like this guy whistling. You can see all of the torture tools and you can tell that there's going to be some really nasty shit happening later, but it's all silent. You can tell some
nasty shit just happened because they're cleaning it up. They're, yes, like running stuff. Like you see at one point really gross soap suds, yes, going down the, yeah, wall.
But there's no music. It's just the person that's cleaning whistling the entire time. And I really appreciate it. I thought it was a really nice way to do the credits.
Have you ever worked in a place where you've got that one person who, when they're working alone or think they're working alone, does the Kill Bill whistle?
Not the Kill Bill whistle, but I hear people like whistle random things, especially, you know.
I've worked in two separate places where I've been like walking down a hall and somebody else thinks they're alone and they're doing that.
Why are they embarrassed to do it?
No, I think it's just like not a thing you do in front of other people. Whistling around other people is annoying.
Well, if you are
a person that hangs out around somebody and you decide that you're just going to whistle a jaunty tune, learn proper social etiquette, please. Nobody wants to deal with that.
You would hate my workplace. It's a lot of that. We are, after the credits play, we are introduced to our three characters. We have Paxson, Josh, and Ollie. Ollie is from Iceland.
Yes.
He is tagging along with these two. These two are friends. They've known each other and they appear to be in, like, they're still kind of in, I'm taking it like in between like graduating college and going to like their.
I think they're in some sort of postgraduate work because, yeah, Paxson at one point mentions taking the bar and Josh working on his thesis.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Josh wants to be a writer is basically. Like based off of like context of conversations that they have, but yeah.
How does a thesis work for a writing degree? I'm gonna have to research that.
Yeah, that is. I don't know. it depends, but yeah, they're walking around. They're in Amsterdam, so they're trying to just tour Europe and just trying to like hit up all of the hot spots. Apparently, Amsterdam is a very hot place for Americans because they.
Weed and red light district.
Exactly, yeah. Which, you know, a lot of people, yeah.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll!
Especially during this time in the 2000s, I feel like I would hear people talk about, like, Amsterdam all the time. Even if they've never been, they're like, yeah, Amsterdam, because weed, you know.
Yeah, we see them, like, they're arguing about if they're going to go smoke weed. They're like, we smoke weed at home. Like, let's go tour a museum, which, like, I'm kind of on Josh's side there. Like, I fucking love a museum tour.
You can get high and then go to a museum. That sounds even better.
So they end up going to, like, a weed bar.
Yeah, where I don't know if any of you smoke hookah, but apparently they're smoking weed from a hookah.
Which just sounds like a terrible time.
It's not recommended. I think it's bad for just the whole thing. It does not clean well like shisha does.
It's bad for the hookah. It's bad for the smoker, I'm assuming. Like, I feel like that's got to hurt your lungs.
Yeah, hookah kind of hurts your lungs too.
Oli, we see that he's a feisty little guy, and he brings over a near catatonic woman, and even Paxson's like, hey, pretty sure that qualifies as rape, so we should probably not have sex with her. There's a cutscene here, which I get, like, he cut it because they get some more of this backstory later in a scene that needs it, and you have to cut out the background somewhere, so yeah. It's not repetitive, but... what happened is that they met Oli, and he has a flat in Barcelona, which is where they want to eventually end up. And so he was just going to tag along. They're just going to be three pals in Europe.
Yeah, they have good chemistry with each other. They seem to all get along just fine.
Yeah, they really do. You know, they like to hang out with their butts and nuts out in front of each other.
They do, especially Oli. They like to call
Oli's penis an anteater. And an aardvark a lot.
Yeah, I don't even want to picture what that
is. He is uncircumcised.
Yeah.
But yeah. So they go to a club. It's loud. Josh has a fanny pack.
Oh, and then there's a shot of there's one other dude in the bar that's wearing a fanny pack, and he is living the best life. He's just like standing still, and he's just kind of nodding along. That would be me.
Yeah, and then this is where, like, the movie is very, very 2005. There is a lot of language usage in this movie that I don't love.
Yeah, very problematic.
Yeah, very problematic. Very of the time, but I'm not gonna, like, say that it's okay because it was 2005. Like, it's 2021 now. We're watching it now. We're talking about it now. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna take a stance against slurs.
So brave.
I know. I'm also going to take a stance and say it's not funny to joke about being gay to your friend who might actually be gay. Well, it's not funny to joke about being gay first.
Yeah.
But, like, also, I, like, truly think there's a subplot there of Josh questioning his sexuality.
Yeah, because there are hints at it.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, they get kicked out of this club.
Oh, yeah, because Josh spills his drink all over a girl and it kind of starts a fight.
Yeah.
And then they're being escorted out, they're like, we're Americans. You can't do this to us. So
fucking obnoxious. Yeah. I hate these guys.
Yeah. They are made out to be pretty hateable right away, which this is what I'm talking about. They're not good characters.
Like, that's why all of these businessmen are paying extra for Americans. They're like, get these fucking people out of our country.
Yeah. Which they act like that's special because, like, they pointed out at the weed bar that Americans are all over the place in Amsterdam. Like, it's not that special.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. So they're shitty about sex workers. They go into a, like, brothel type place. I don't know what the right terminology is. Essentially that.
Red light district.
Yeah. They are seeing silhouettes of people having sex. At one point, we see two bros fist bumping. So I was a little bit confused because we, like, behind the scenes stuff, you actually see, like, everything was shot from both sides of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt a little bit weird to me.
That they would do that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just, like, for the behind the scenes or if they were actually intending on using those shots.
Yeah, I don't.
Because you feel, I feel like that would be in the deleted scenes if that were the case. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know you have to get, like, a ton of different angles and stuff. I was just like, man, these are silhouettes, and you have these people completely butt-ass naked.
Yeah, some of the things that you can see the silhouette of a nipple from, like, some of these shots too. So I don't know. I mean, it's not necessary, but...
No, you don't... Just don't wear a padded bra and make it cold, and then you can still see a nipple.
Perfect.
But yeah, like, Oli pays a sex worker to fuck Josh. And Josh was like, hey, nice room you have. Bye.
Yeah, they're trying to get him to have sex to forget about his ex.
They are late getting back to their hostel. There's a curfew and they're, again, really obnoxious. And I'm siding with all the people throwing bottles at them. Because they're being loud. They're waking up the entire street.
Always starts singing in the middle of the street to try and wake everybody up. I guess to like make it to where they're so obnoxious that somebody has to let them in.
Which does work because this guy named Alex, who lives near the hostel, opens up his window and has them climb up the fire escape. So they go in there. And his roommate and his roommate's girlfriend or whatever, I don't know, maybe not girlfriend, who knows, are having very stoned sex.
Yeah.
And
I don't even know if it's like weed. I think that they're just super high. They're tripping on something and they're having
super
sex.
Super not sober sex.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like Oli is just watching and then Paxton and Josh are like awkwardly talking with Alex and they're like, yeah, we just want to fuck women all over Europe. And he was like, oh, listen, I know of this great place. It's this hostel right outside of Bratislava and you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it in your tour book. But let me tell you how to get there. So they're like, cool. Now we have a place where we're going to go. This is where we get the actual backstory of why they're with Oli. Because he's noticeably older than them and noticeably less American than them.
Yeah.
So I think Alex is like, what? Why?
What? Yeah, he's telling them that basically the women there are very much into Americans. So just the fact that you're an American and they hear your accent, they're going to be all over you. So they're into it. So they decide to set out and go on there the next day. And then they're on the train.
God, I would love to go somewhere where people are like, man, your accent's so pretty. Because I do not fucking get that in America anywhere.
Well, I mean, it's America. Everybody's used to our accent. Well, you get it with a southern accent, I guess. I don't know.
With the southern accent, you get people making fun of you.
Some people are into it.
I've never met anybody into it.
Oh, well, some people are. I don't know. Some people are into any accent. You know, that's true. People are weird.
People just like things that are different.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think they're neat. So they're on a train. Somebody drew eyes on Oli's butt cheeks.
Oli drew eyes on Oli's butt cheeks.
I do not think, like, if Oli did those eyes himself, he has done this prank several times before because those are some very symmetrical, very smooth eyeballs.
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression that he's the type of guy that would do this a lot.
Also, they clearly planned this in advance because he mentioned that he shaved his ass for this prank.
That's true. He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's got a very smooth butt here.
I like to imagine he just keeps his butt shaven at all times so he can do a butt prank whenever he wants.
Just have it ready to go. He's already got the eyes on there at all times.
Yeah, like they're just tattoos. Like.
Oh, yeah. Even better. Yeah, yeah. That's not a bad idea.
But yeah, so this guy, the Dutch businessman. I call him Train Guy in my notes throughout, so I might switch back and forth. He comes in. He's on the phone with his daughter, Saskia. Oh, she's daddy's girl. And then this absolute psychopath starts eating a salad with his fingers. The original salad fingers.
Oh, gross. I wonder if that's where he got the inspiration. It was around this time when salad fingers came out. Fun fact about this guy was cast like within less than 6 days before shooting began, and he did not speak any English at all. He spoke all of his lines by learning it phonetically. Had no idea what he was saying.
That's really impressive, honestly.
Yeah, I know it is, because he has a whole monologue later on.
Yeah.
And here he's got a lot of dialogue.
And he's got like a monologue that gets cut too.
Yeah.
Wow. He says he prefers to use his hands. He likes to have connections with things that died for me. And then Paxton's like, well, I'm a vegetarian. And the guy is like, well, it's human nature to eat meat. And Paxton is like, am I not a fucking human being? Like, what do you mean? Paxton really didn't strike me as the type that would be vegetarian.
I didn't get that vibe either. And I'm going to call bullshit.
I feel like he's just fucking with this guy.
Yeah, that's how I feel
like,
too.
He immediately, like, he was like, I don't like this guy. I'm going to tell him I'm a vegetarian. Because... truly, speaking as a vegetarian, nothing will piss off hardcore meat eaters more than being like, I'm a vegetarian. It's it ruffles some feathers.
Yeah, some people they get a little bit too wrapped up in the whole thing. It's kind of stupid.
I saw somebody shared something that was like, when you're a vegetarian, when people find out you're vegetarian, they have they no longer know how to relate to you as a person. They'll be like, hey, do you want to carpool together? I have a Honda Civic. Are you allowed to ride in that? I know you're a vegetarian. Like, and it's true. Like, people will be like, I feel like I shouldn't eat this burger in front of you. And I'm like, do you think I just like eat alone in a closet for all three meals?
Yeah,
like,
if you had to avoid everybody that ate me, you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Like, we're eating in separate rooms. So, fun fact, we just did a quick break for an audio check after our corrupted audio incident with Jason X. We're not taking any chances. Mm-hmm. And apparently our neighbor's dog is incredibly legible?
Wow.
Audible. Audible. That's the word I'm looking for. It's not Talia barking in the background. It's our neighbor's dog. Talia's being a good girl and just sleeping on the couch.
Yeah. Sorry if that's an issue.
Yep. That's what that is. This is where Train Guy, like, gropes Josh.
Yeah, he puts his hand on his knee. He pulls a Toby.
Yeah. And, like, he makes very sexy eyes at Josh, too. And, like...
It's a very bold move for somebody you just met.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You're, like, did you think that the whole eating salad with your hands thing was a turn on? It's like, let me touch it with these chicken fingers. It's nasty.
Yeah. And Josh freaks out and kicks him out of the train car.
And that, like, a... reasonable response
too. And again, the guy pulls a Toby. Like, if he had a fence to hop over, he would have.
I'm just imagining that. Yeah.
Just like opens the train door and yeets out.
I could see it.
All right, so they get to the hostel. Pulp Fiction's on the TV, and it's in Russian. That's according to the captions, it's in Russian.
Yeah, this is, I don't know where this place is, like, geographically, where they are.
Whoever dubbed over Samuel L. Jackson was not a good voice match.
I don't think that you can really, you know, dub Samuel Jackson. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson just needs to learn every language for every country that his movies are shown in.
So. Yeah, like the guy in this movie that just didn't even know the language. Yeah. He's just like, all right, just tell me what I need to read, motherfucker. That's it. He leaves those in, though, motherfucker.
So they get up to their room. They're told that they're going to have roommates. And they get up to their room.
They were roommates.
And they were roommates. And boy, were they. So they get up there and they see these girls, titties out. And they're like, oh, we're just getting ready to go to the spa. You should come. And so they follow. And this is where they get down to the spa. And I wrote, of course, Paxton has a fucking tribal tattoo because...
He has a fucking tribal tattoo.
I was like, dude bro, confirmed. Yep. They go into a sauna, everybody's naked, the girls are like, let's go to a club, and then they get there, and they're being given, drugs, pills of some sort.
I'm thinking ecstasy.
I'm not a druggist, so I don't know.
I've never, in any time that I've seen anything related to ecstasy, I think it's in pills. So I think that this is ecstasy. It very much fits the theme of, like, going to a club. That's a popular drug for that.
Yeah. So Josh is kind of like, who is he with? Is he with Svetlana or Natalia? Which one's which? Svetlana's the blonde one, right?
Yeah, Josh gets Natalia.
Okay. Yeah, so she's, like, getting very cozy with him, but he's like, hey, I'm having an asthma attack. I'm going to go outside. Relatable. There's, you know, more partying.
But not only that, but she's smoking right beside him. And it obviously, like, made him uncomfortable. She offered to put it out, but I think he made the right call to just go outside.
Yeah, and then while he's out there, one of the bubblegum gang kids comes up and demands...
I think it was like a quarter or a dime or something.
He asked for something, and then he said, I want a dollar. And then, like, the rest of his gang pops up, and they've got, like, bats and chains and brass knuckles and... the train guy comes up and he is like, just like makes it rain on the kids. And he's like, it's best to just give them what they want because they will fucking murder you.
Oh boy, they will.
They will sell you out for a piece of gum. And I am not even joking.
Yeah, they like gum here. So,
yeah. So Josh is like, let me buy you a beer as a thanks.
Yeah.
But also as kind of a date because, like, while they're in there, they're talking and the train guy's like, go hang out with your friends. He's like, no, I'm enjoying our conversation.
Yeah, and he puts his hand on his knee.
Yeah, then he puts his hand on his knee.
Yeah.
That is a...
It's a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that goes beyond subtext right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I think is kind of interesting because we've got these women that are luring these men for the elite hunting group. And then I think it's kind of interesting that Josh is given to the man that he's got.
The guy a flirtation most with. Likely like requested him. Yeah. He seemed to be in the know that this was where they're going to get their pick.
Yeah, like he's very conveniently there. Like that's a weird coincidence because that club does not seem like that dude's hangout.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not. It's all like a bunch of young people and he's just kind of there. To be fair, he wasn't even in the club. He was outside. So maybe he was going there. I don't know. Maybe he was just walking by.
Yeah, I don't know. Back at the hostel, like just two bros fucking their girl roommates.
Mm-hmm. And Oli has been taken away by, I think it's Val.
Vala.
They call her Val too, I think. But she's like the desk clerk at the hostel.
Yeah. So I want to say one thing about Oli, okay. Since this is his last screen appearance. You know who he made me think of?
Who?
Dennis's roommate in that episode of It's Always Sunny. Was like, you want to do some freaky shit, man? That's Oli.
That is very much him.
That was a really bad accent. I'm so sorry to all of Europe.
Butchering names and butchering accents. Yeah. That's what we do here, folks.
But yeah, so they wake up in the morning. Oli's not there. His bed is neatly made. They're like, guess he never came back.
In a deleted scene, we see that Josh witnesses him being taken away in a van, and this never comes up again.
And, like, which is one thing. Like, okay, you cut it because, you know, it's better if they're just confused about where he is. But
which that was his rationale.
His
for
rationale
it.
Was that it's creepy. The next 10 minutes are creepier without seeing it. But like he doesn't mention that it creates a continuity.
Yeah. From here on out, they're basically like, where is he? Like he didn't come home last night. Maybe he went away with the girl or went home with her. But in reality, like just based off of the shooting here, Josh saw him go into a van and he never brings it up to Paxton.
And he's not about. Willingly getting in the van. He is being escorted by two beefy men.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very much sketchy, but apparently they just shrug it off.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, well, we'll leave a note for him in case he comes back. This girl, Kanna, she comes running up. She's got a text message of her friends and Oli. Like, it's a picture, and at the bottom, it apparently says sayonara.
It's a very disturbing picture, too. Like, it's... They are, you can see the backdrop of one of the towers. You kind of get these landmarks, you get shots of it throughout the movie.
They do not look like they're there willingly.
No, that's the thing. Like, they are, like, standing very still, and they're very, like, I don't know.
Shell-shocked look on their faces.
Yeah, they're very stiff, it seems like, and they're basically, they have, like, no expression. And
yeah, it's like, you just know there's a gun pointed at them off camera.
Yeah, it's very creepy. It's a very unsettling picture. I really like that.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, well, we'll meet up and talk with you later. We're going to try and find Oli. They're walking near a canal, and I actually really relate to Pax in this moment because he's like, oh, here's a body of water. Let me tell you about some of my childhood trauma.
Yeah, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesse does that all the time.
I really do. Occasionally, I will remember something I've repressed, and I'm like, I guess that explains why I have this particular characteristic now.
Yeah, I guess we're talking about that today.
So he's talking about he saw a girl drowning when he was younger. And even though he told the lifeguard he felt responsible for her dying. And this is supposed to set up his whole growth as a character, which is all fine and well. I still don't want him to be our final girl in this movie, but he is. It works out okay in the theatrical cut. It's kind of undone completely in the director's cut.
Is it?
Ending. Yes.
Oh, the ending. Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get there,
yeah,
too.
We'll talk about that.
But anyways, they
but
think
yeah,
that
we just had to give him some background because he's about to become our final boy.
Yeah, and yeah, they're trying to build up these characters, but it's really not doing much. Any of the dialogue that they have here is just kind of like, whatever.
Literally,
man.
If they didn't spend 30 minutes of the movie in loud clubs fucking girls, like, they could have built up their characters a little bit more naturally.
But anyways, they see what they think is Oli because they see this man wearing the exact same coat that Oli had.
Nobody else has an orange jacket in Europe, Travis. This is clearly evidence.
But I understand it because, I mean, I don't know. This guy's from Iceland. Like, do people from Iceland get this stuff here? Like, you know, a lot of that stuff is very much local. So,
do you know this?
I've read about some cases, like some murder cases where people they tracked down, they've gotten like a piece of evidence from a quote, they're like, okay, this person is from another country because they only manufacture this and sell it in South Korea. I'm obviously giving away some details of the exact one I was reading about. We listened to the episode about it on Case File, the guy that went to the family's home and like killed them all and then like kind of hung out there and like shit in the toilet and ate candy.
I was like, you had me in the first half. I was like, that's like 90% of Case File episodes, but okay.
You remember which one I'm talking about? Yeah, they were able to like, they got a piece because the guy just like lived in their house for a little bit and he left behind some clothing. They're like, okay, this is like made here, so... You know, it could be the case with this. I mean, that's not what they're doing, obviously. They just see something familiar and they think it's him. So they go and chase him around the town because the guy's not listening whenever they're yelling Oli because this isn't Oli.
I do like they follow him into a torture museum and the tickets for the museum are like a picture of a person. And instead of like ripping the stub off for the ticket, he puts in a tiny little guillotine.
Yes, I love it. Yeah.
I want a teeny tiny guillotine.
Yeah. Very dangerous with our pets, but
yeah.
we could keep it here in the podcast room.
Yeah. If anybody knows where you can find a teeny tiny guillotine, hit us up.
Etsy.
Probably.
I'm sure.
Truly, there's probably a tiny guillotine on Etsy. I'm going to look it up.
I also love the fact that there's a museum of torture in a torture porn movie. Like, they very much were like, yeah. Yeah, we know what we're doing here. And it's really cool. They have some interesting things in there.
This shit right here, historically based. We did our research. We went to a museum.
The extra mile. Apparently, there actually was a museum where they were shooting this thing here.
Oh, yeah. No, these types of museums really do exist.
Yeah. So, it's kind of cool.
So they realize it's not the guy. They get a text from Oli, supposedly, and it's what very much looks like Oli with very dead eyes, and that's because we see in the next shot it's his head and on a tray.
Yeah, all the text says is, I go home. So obviously these people aren't like English speakers, but you know, I think Oli's English wasn't that broken.
Mm-mm.
So it's... The picture is very upsetting.
So they're racist also.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm sure they are racist.
I mean, that's probably part of the reason that they want Americans. Like,
yeah, they hate Americans for sure.
Yeah.
That's definitely a big part of it.
So they see Kenna back at the hostel and they ask if she's going to go to the train the next day. And she's like, yeah. And they're like, well, we'll meet up with you. Like, don't know where your friend went. Spoiler alert, her friend is in the same place Oli was, and she's getting her toes clipped off one by one.
Yes, that scene is nasty.
Yeah.
But I love that shot of it, like, panning over, and then you see down the hall. This guy obviously paid a lot of money, because he got two people.
Yeah.
But they're not American, so I guess he got some kind of combo deal.
Yeah, but the one, like, coked up guy later made it sound like... Asian people are even more expensive.
Later on, he finds the card.
Or maybe it's because he's also American and they're like, we can definitely rip this guy off.
Yeah, probably. They probably took advantage of him. But Paxton finds a card later on that reveals the prices of, you know, the nationality or race or whatever. Americans are like 25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the others are like 1,000 and like 10,000 or something.
No, a local is 5,000 and then... What was the second
one? I couldn't read it. It was too fast for me.
Whatever. I didn't write it down. I'm not interested in the price of human heads.
Yeah.
Not information I need to have. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, FBI agent? Listen again.
That sounds even more suspicious.
Definitely don't know the cost of humans.
Are you making Morse code at me?
No. I don't know fucking Morse code.
No, that's disappointing.
I don't even think I know SOS because I get it mixed up which one's long and which one's short.
I don't know any of that.
Okay, so Svetlana and Natalia come in and they're like, go to a club. And Josh is like, fuck off. And then yeah. Paxton is like, hold on now. And he's like, listen, dude, Oli's European and Europeans are fucking weird. He's also racist because he's American.
No, he's got a point here. His whole point is, so this guy just like, they don't even really know him. They've just he's tagged along with their trip throughout Europe. And I could see him just like ditching them to go along with some person that he just met again, you know? Like, it's very much real. And he's got a point saying, look, you and I, like, we're staying together, but we don't really need him because he probably went away with someone else.
Or he went home to his daughter.
Yeah, which he also said.
He's got a 6-year-old daughter.
Yeah. So, it's very much reasonable. And it convinces Josh. So, you know, they end up going.
Listen, I agree with his point, but there's a way he said it.
He thinks it's like a racist, like undertone.
He was like, Europeans are flaky, trust me, bro. Like, that's how it felt. Like,
bro, I've been to Europe.
Like, there's one way to be like, cultures are different. Maybe this isn't a big deal. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. He was like, he's Icelandic. They definitely, like, they don't like to hang out for long.
Them guy's sketchy.
So, okay. So they decide that they're going to go. And then Paxson says, this is the shit that, talking about having sex with these girls. He's like, this is the shit that we'll be thinking about when I'm studying for the bar and you're writing your thesis. And I was like, that is not what you should be thinking about when you are studying or writing. That will get you very poor results because maybe that's not how brains work.
That's what his thesis is going to be on. Maybe he's like going to be like an erotic writer, you know?
You can go to school for that.
I don't know. I guess. Like, maybe they have like some kind of like.
Like, what's your focus? Erotica.
Like, ooh. Spicy.
Ooh. Okay. So they invite Kanna. She says no. Josh, like at the bar, Natalia is just like feeding him drinks, like just tipping his chin up and like pouring the drink. Like, there you go.
Yeah.
Full on baby bird in it, you know. He sees the guy with the jacket again, and then he's like, fuck this shit, I'm out. He leaves, says he'll see Natalia later because they share a room, obviously. So he gets back to the hostel. He looks fucking awful.
Yeah.
He looks terrible.
And I'm pretty sure he's been drugged here.
Oh, clearly. Yeah. And like Vala's like, oh, sweet baby, let's lay you down in the bed that's not in your room that you paid for, which I could just take you right up to it, but no, you're gonna go in this bed. And then I really like the angling of the shot because you mostly see him, but like in the background you can see like just the corner of the doorway and you see like extra pairs of feet come
up.
Yeah,
another guy walks up. Yeah. It's very nice. I like that too.
So at the club, the girls are talking in another language right in front of Paxton, and he is like, wow, this is super fun. Hey, where's the bathroom? And he's like, okay, I'll get you guys drinks on my way back, and then says something in German, and they seem a little bit thrown off that he can speak German. When he goes to the bathroom, there's clearly a line for the bathroom, clearly. And instead he just walks into a supply closet and then is confused it's a supply closet.
I mean, he's starting to have the effects of the drugging too, and some guy walks out of the supply closet and he just like thinks it's the bathroom, so he just stumbles in there and passes out.
I'm telling you, the people that work at the club are so lucky that he did not expel any type of body fluid in that closet, because that is how that story would go any other day.
I don't feel like they would give a shit.
Oh, they would.
These people are sketchy.
Somebody has to clean it up still.
Maybe. I don't know.
Unless they bring the butcher from the actual, like, office space or whatever. Like, bring him in there to clean that stuff up, too. Get your hose.
Get your hose and your hose.
Get your hose. So, Pax... No. So, we see Pax falling asleep. I don't know if he's ever actually referred to as Pax. That's what I wrote.
No, they say Pax. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I was writing in my notes the whole time. So we cut to a shot, like as Pax is falling asleep, we cut to a shot. It's like a small circle in the screen. The rest of the screen's black. And it's like a POV shot, clearly. And you can tell, like, you're looking around this room. You see a tray of torture instruments.
It's like surgical stuff.
Let me tell you, and I told you this.
Yeah.
So I have to get regular skin screenings. Just, you know, be safe. And when you go into the dermatologist's office, they have that shit ready to go. Really? Like, they have a whole fucking tray with, like, scalpels. They've got the cauterizing tool. They've got gauze. They've got the little local anesthetic needles that are, like, pre-measured out. Really? Like, they've got all of that on a tray. No, because I remember because the first time I went in, I saw the tray and I was like, dude, this is just like in fucking hospital. Like, it's really nerve-wracking. Yeah. If you're like, oh, God, what's going to happen to me?
That's scary.
Yeah, because, like, I thought it was, like, because I was like, I have a suspicious mole that I need you to check out. And then I come in and I see all these tools. And I was like, what? And she's like, no, we keep these out for everybody. And I was like, that's still alarming. Yeah. But okay.
That's unsettling. Like, hey, yeah, I was just here. Like, you know, just for a checkup. Okay, cool. Let's get the scalpel. Like, I don't even think I have moles. I'm just wanting to, just want to know.
I just have really bad acne. Yeah.
This is how they solve it. They just cut it all out. But I love this scene. That's...
yeah,
right here.
Yeah, so the Dutch businessman comes in. We don't know it's him yet. He's in a mask and an apron. He pulls off the hood from Josh. Josh is crying, he's yelling, he's begging, he is going through all stages of grief right now. He's handcuffed to the chair, like, and the chair is bolted to the floor. It's all very like gnarly and medieval.
Yeah.
And we see a drill. And we hear the drill, and then we see the drill being put back on the table with what appears to be raw bacon wrapped around the drill bit.
Yeah.
It's upsetting.
He's like drilled his leg and his torso. Like, I'm not really sure about the placement of each of them, but he's gotten deep in there.
Yeah. It's not like, it's not a drill bit you would use on drywall. Like, cause you're going to like go all the way through all of your fucking walls with it. It's a long drill bit.
Yeah.
It's an industrial drill bit. Not quite driller killer, but, you know, driller killer light.
It's like the drill from the third movie.
It's like Wes Thorne's first exactly. drill. Yeah. The guy takes off his mask, and there's like a whole monologue here that was cut where he's talking about like medieval torture instruments, kind of tying it into the torture museum. But they felt that it kind of takes away from his next monologue, which is like he takes off his mask. We see it's the guy from the train. And then he's talking about how he wanted to be a surgeon, but he couldn't because his hands shake too much, which is a legit reason to not become a surgeon. Like, that's like a necessary.
Yeah, you need accuracy.
Yeah. Minimally necessary qualification is the proper term.
Yeah.
So Josh is like vomiting, he's crying, he wants to go, and the guy goes, oh, you want to go? And then like we see him lean down, and then Josh just starts like screaming and freaking out, and you're like, don't know what's happening, but it's not good. And then he like uncuffs him and he's like, you are free to go. And then he opens the door, and then we see Josh stand up, and then we see his feet and his Achilles tendons have been completely severed, and he just falls forward. And you know how that was done? Fake leggies, baby.
Really good looking fake legs.
Really good looking fake legs. And like the angle of it, you don't even realize that you're not seeing the top half of his body. The way this is shot and edited is like really cool.
Yeah. And also during the scene, whenever he falls down to crawl, the actor, I can't remember his name. Let's just call him. Oh, here we go. Derek Richardson. Those screams are real.
What a generic fucking name.
It is. But those screams are real because in the process of doing this, it's briefly shown like in the thing that we were watching, but he pulled the chair up and it fell on his toe and it nearly split it in half.
Ugh.
So he's bleeding like pretty badly whenever he's doing this, but I don't know how much, I don't know if they just kept the dialogue, like, you know, the recording of it, or if he's actually like crawling there with his foot fucked up.
I mean, listen, if it was me and I was in that scene, I'm like, I'm getting a good fucking performance. I'm going with it. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, and it works too. He's selling it pretty well.
And I've got jacked up toes from years in color guard because you just drop equipment on you. Like, you can't do shit if you break a toe. You tape it to the one next to it. It only matters if you break your big toe. My toes are fucking gross.
That's so sad.
I mean, it's true, though. Like, you can go to the hospital, but they're just going to tape it. Like,
I guess.
Who has the time and money to go tape it when you can tape it yourself? Like,
fair enough, I guess.
But yeah, it's like, I feel it. I respect it.
Yeah, and this is probably like the most popular scene in the movie. This is like the most well-known part.
Yeah, this is actually it's like on one of the
100 scariest movie moments.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what channel that is.
Bravo.
Bravo. Bravo.
Hey.
I wanted to say AMC, and I was like, no, that's just who Eli is dedicated to now. Yeah. So obviously, train guy isn't letting him go. He steps over top of him, grabs his hair. He was actually really grabbing his hair. Derek Richardson behind the scenes was like, yeah, that dude, he likes to grab hair. I thought I was going to lose my hair. And like he kind of holds his face up to a mirror, and then like you see like he's about to slit his throat.
Yeah. So again, he did all of this without even speaking English this whole scene. So.
That blows my mind. I must have missed that.
I read that online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they didn't talk about it in the thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that blows my mind because he did a really good performance.
Yeah, he really did.
And there was like a great moment too, because you still don't fully know what is going on, but like Josh, right before his throat gets cut, he's like, I will pay you 10 times, two times. That's not how negotiations work. like, let me go. And then he was like, oh, I am paying to do this.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a mercenary. He's like,
I'm paying for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, whoop.
Yeah, that's a really haunting line.
Yeah. I did not do it justice in the way I just recapped it. I kind of butchered the flow of it. It's fine. Go watch the movie.
Yeah. We recommend you watch every movie we talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. So Pax is back at the hostel. The guy at the front desk, who suddenly we don't see Vala anymore. She's no longer working at the front desk. Interesting.
Yeah.
So the guy at the front desk says that, oh yeah, Josh checked out this morning. And he's like, what? No.
It's like, you checked out too.
And he's like, what? No. And then he's like, what about Canna over there? And he's like, yeah, no, she left. Like, he's like, she checked out too. Like, she's like, everybody checked out. Yeah. I don't, like,
dude, I'm checked out right now.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
This is what the Eagles were singing about. Because they all checked out, but they didn't really leave.
Hotel California?
Yeah.
Oh, you think this movie was inspired by Hotel California?
No.
Like, maybe they're like...
It clearly was. I'm doing a bit.
Dude. I know. I was just going to say, like, it'd be funny if they're like, listen, like, I really want to make a movie on Hotel California, but we can't say that we did that. So let's just say we went to this really sketchy website. You know, people will love that.
Yeah, so he asked for a key. He, like, re-rents the room. But because he's technically a new renter... tenant, resident. I don't know what they refer to him as in hostels. But technically he's new. So when he gets up there, he's got two new roommates, and it's the exact same scene as what they walked mm-hmm. into before.
I thought it was the same people.
No. Really? It's two new girls. Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah. I assume that they rotate out because we're about to see Svetlana and Natalia again, and they look fucking tired.
Yes, they do.
But yeah. So he tries to call Josh. He finds where Oli and Canna's friend had their picture taken.
Yeah, we don't. Her name was what was it?
I saw it on IMDb, but like it's I don't Yuki. Think it's ever said out loud.
It's Yuki.
Yuki.
Yeah, Yuki.
Aww. So I'm not just saying aw, like Yuki is on The Last Drive-In.
Yeah,
Yuki's very wholesome. Yeah,
which disappointing. That he wasn't
I know. On. But lots of shout outs to Yuki, but we never got to see Yuki.
Yeah.
So the kids come by, they steal his phone, Pax chases him and almost chokes one out.
Yeah, but then he has a little moment where he, you know, I don't know if it's the whole character development that was going on before talking about witnessing that one girl die, but he lets the kid go.
Yeah.
But also it's kind of fucked up to just murder a kid.
Like, yeah. So he goes, he files a police report. Technically, he was filing a report about his phone being stolen, and then he also mentioned his friend.
Yeah, also those guys are gone, but yeah. Really my phone here.
Yeah, but like most of that got cut, so it seems like he's filing a missing report on Josh, and the cops is like, I mean, like, it's fine.
Yeah, I know. You can, like, the cops, everybody that works in this town seems to be in, like, I think they're bribed by the organization.
Yeah, no, well, you see him later outside, yeah. So... He definitely is.
Yeah.
How convenient that he talked to the one cop.
I know, right?
Maybe he's got, like, on his record, like, maybe he's like, I'm the best English speaker. Let me talk to all the Americans.
Ooh, maybe.
I don't know if that was the actual intention.
Probably not, but I like that. It's headcanon right there.
So he follows, I think he sees, like, Svetlana.
Yeah, he sees. He
follows her.
No, he sees Natalia. Yeah.
Okay. So he follows her. They're like in a dive bar, very different setting from where they've been previously, and they're like in the back. They clearly haven't washed their hair. They've got no makeup on. They look like they haven't slept. They look like they're hungover. Like they're still very, very pretty girls, but it's very clear they are in a different frame of mind right now.
They
almost seem really exhausted to see them show up.
Eli Roth like did that just to like kind of make them more reflect how ugly they are inside throughout the movie compared to how they were at the beginning. That's what it said.
Fuck that though, because they're still very, very pretty.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, they look rough here.
They looked rough. I wouldn't like, they just look like they weren't wearing makeup and hadn't washed their hair. That's not the same thing as being ugly.
Their eyes were like very much like baggy and dark. I don't know. Like they looked like they just hadn't slept.
Yeah. So that's not equal ugly. He is definitely okay. Never mind. I'm not gonna say it because that would sound as a personal attack. That type of a statement. I'm gonna word it this way because I don't want to like personally attack him. There are plenty of people who say things like that. Mm-hmm. It's definitely that kind of mentality of like, I don't like women that wear makeup. You look best when you're all natural. And then like they point to a picture of a woman who's definitely wearing makeup. It's just not like very obvious eyeshadow and lipstick and stuff. And it's like I can probably guess 5 products at a minimum that are on her face.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
So I don't know. That I could have done without that bit of information.
Well, I'm just here to spit the facts to you.
Spit the facts. They said that Josh went to an art installation, which like, yeah, does sound like something Josh would have wanted to do, but like,
but not Oli.
Yeah, not Oli.
They say Oli is there also, which they're not lying. I mean, they're both there.
Yeah. So Natalia agrees to take him to the art installation. And in the car, like, she's offering him gum, and she's got, like, fat stacks on her purse, man. And he's like, this is very suspicious. And apparently this is Eli Roth's favorite scene in the whole movie. Questionable.
Yeah, I don't get
why.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's well shot. Like, I just don't feel like it's that intense.
No, it's not. It's just like, okay, where are we going? I guess we're going somewhere. All right.
Yeah, so when he walks into... by the way, he sees somebody out front, and it's Takashi Miike. God.
What's his name in the movie again?
Miike Takashi.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. It's on IMDb.
I wish that we didn't get any explanation why he was in the movie.
Yeah, we did not. We watched so much amount of special features, and there were still so many to go. We did not watch that one, but it did seem like when they had the dissecting hostel featurette, he was saying something about wanting to be in it. Like, he's just got a random throwaway line. Okay, so he... He's just allowed straight in. He asked like what he needs to pay for admission. And the guy's like, you can get him for free. And he's walking down the hall and he sees Josh's body on the table and train guys just like sewing him up. And then he turns around and yells at Natalia a lot and he calls her a bitch. And she was like, oh, I got a lot of money for you. So I think technically you're my bitch, which is good kind of a great line.
Yeah, I love that.
So these two beefy men come and grab him and drag him to a room, handcuff him to a chair. A third beefy man comes in with a tiny little German guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, speak. And he's like, what do you want me to say? And he's like, see, he's American. And he's like, I'm not American. So like this guy, like Pax is doing the same thing that Josh was doing, like begging, pleading, crying, all of that. He realizes that the guy cannot speak English, so he starts speaking to him in German. And he makes the German language sound really beautiful.
And I've got what he says here. So
we
don't have subtitles for any of the foreign languages spoken. Like whenever they're speaking Dutch, we don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
So it's I guess it's like a decision, you know, on their end.
It makes sense. Like you don't necessarily need to know what is being said. You get the gist.
Yeah, but it's what he says is not what I was expecting.
Okay.
So what he says to him is, if you kill me, I'll destroy your life. Every time you close your eyes, you'll see me. I'll be in your nightmares every night, your whole life. I will ruin it.
I feel like he's trying to say, like, murder is bad and it changes who you are as a person, but it really sounds like he's threatening to haunt him.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what he is doing there. But it's pretty powerful.
And then this guy looks like maybe he's moved for a moment, and then he calls in the beefy man who puts a ball gag on his mouth.
Yeah.
And, like, the guy is just trying out different weapons. Like, he seems very unsure of himself. He's a first-timer, for sure. Like, he's like, do I use this three-prongy tool?
Yeah, he's, like, taking scissors and, like, snipping it towards his face, too.
He cut off a piece of his hair.
Oh, did he?
He put it in a baggie, like, a little dime bag for, like, a trophy, I'm assuming. Just like I assume the orange jacket guy took Oli's jacket as a trophy.
True, yeah.
I'm assuming that trophies are included with the price of admission.
That makes sense, yeah.
And this is where, like, I feel his terror in this moment, because there's nothing worse than the sound of a chainsaw when you are trapped to the spot. And he cuts off some of his fingers. He throws up. He's got this ball gag on his mouth. And the guy's like, fuck, I don't want him to choke to death. This is not what I paid money for. So he undoes the ball gag and he's like trying to check his throat and make sure there's no, like, chunky pieces. And then, like, Pac starts trying to bite him and he's like, don't like that. And then he goes around. He's going to start sawing him again, but he slips on some vomit. And the chainsaw.
I think it's the blood, actually, from Yeah, I thought it was going to be the vomit also, but looking at it.
I feel like they should require everybody wear non-slip shoes, like in a restaurant.
You would think. And also, this guy is getting, like, a run and go at it, too. I don't understand what his game is here.
I don't know. Like I said, I think he's a first-timer. I don't think he knew what he was going to do.
Big time.
So he falls. The chainsaw falls on his leg. He freaks out. Didn't that happen in one of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies?
Yeah, it happens in the remake.
Okay.
The sequel to the remake, I think. I don't
think. That movie's got the franchise has a messy fucking timeline. Yes. It's almost as bad as Halloween's timeline at this point.
Yeah, they're pretty much equal with that.
So at this point, like, the chair is also falling apart. So Pax manages to get himself loose. He shoots the guy in the head. He calls for the guard. The guard comes in. He shoots the guard. He scoops up his little fingies, and then he runs.
Yeah.
He puts on a mask and an apron first. Smart. You're still bleeding very heavily. People are going to have questions, but...
Well, you know. I'm sure people get, like, a little bit too carried away and might accidentally hurt themselves. You know, it doesn't seem like it would be that uncommon there.
Yeah. So he finds... He, like, ducks into a room because, like, bodyguards are walking his way. Bodyguards, security, whatever the fuck they're called. He ducks into a room, sees...
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to point out, so whenever he's calling that security guard to come in there, you see that he's watching porn.
Yeah.
The porn that he is watching is called...
Travis really doing some research this week.
Well, this one is interesting because it's called Sex Fever. It's a Cabin Fever parody. Yeah. So it was kind of funny that he acknowledged that and put it in his film.
Okay, so that was one that was independently made. Eli Roth found out about it and thought it was funny. So
I'm sure, Yeah, he didn't make it himself. It's an actual, like, porn parody.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see him filming that.
I could, too.
They did this whole, like, behind the scenes for a poster in the background of a scene. Like, not even that big a deal. They decided that they were going to do...
In three
shots, they make a poster of, like, an 80s glam rock band because one of the production coordinators, or is he...
Yeah, he's something there.
He's, like, a higher-up person. Mark Bacunas?
Yeah, I think that's it.
I did not write his name down, so I'm going off of memory. He was in a rock band. And
several, apparently.
Yeah, so they decided they were going to do that. So I could see Eli Roth being like, yeah, we're going to shoot.
Sex Fever.
Shoot Sex Fever.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, okay, he's in the closet.
He's in the closet. He gets onto this cart full of bodies. And is wheeled down to, like, a morgue, crematorium, butcher shop, whatever. I don't know, by this guy credited as the butcher. And, like, he's hiding underneath a body. He drops his fingers. He's trying to pick them back up. But the guy scoops down and grabs his fingers. And I was like, dude, those weren't going to get reattached anyway. I get what's happening to him psychologically and why he's holding on to him. But, like,
yeah,
those fingers were going to slow you down if you felt the need to hold on to him for the rest of the movie.
Most definitely.
So he... sneaks up while the guy's putting body parts into the furnace and hits him with a sledgehammer. Brutal, swift, very good moment of self-preservation. He manages to find an elevator, gets upstairs to a locker room. I'm really impressed with the way he is navigating around this place while
he's just panicked. Magically stumbling into all of these places. Yes. He's not even trying. He's just trying to figure out where to go, but he's going to all of the right places.
Yeah, there's definitely some movie magic stuff happening here. Like, for such an expensive, highly illegal organization, you would think that they would have better security protocols.
The building is like broken down. There's holes in the walls. Like, this guy doesn't even have to go through the front door. He just has to walk out the side of the building.
Yeah, like the, you know? I don't know. There's a little bit of cinema, like, yeah. We're just gonna work.
But
around
I mean,
this.
The setting is like an actual rundown hospital, like we said, yeah. Or factory, and you know, yeah.
So he gets to the locker room. He sees that cop from before outside, and he's like, "Well, shit." He puts on some guy's suit and gloves.
It's like the driver's suit, I think.
Okay. And then this guy that is definitely on cocaine comes in and is asking like the best way to kill somebody. And like Pax is like, do it quickly. He goes, nah, fuck that. And he's like, they arranged something real special for me. Pay $50,000.
Yeah. And he throws the gun that he has because, you know, he's holding the gun for whatever reason into the laundry bin. That's how you know he's on coke.
Yeah. Which is... quite literally Chekhov's gun, because mm-hmm. Pax is about to use it, but like, you're supposed to introduce Chekhov's gun in the first act. Come on, Eli, I thought you were a movie writing prodigy.
Movie writing genius.
He manages to run out. He gets to a car that has a key in it, like everything seems perfect, then he hears Canna scream. Somehow he hears her specific scream, nobody else's, from outside.
Mm-hmm. But she is experiencing some pretty fucked up torture.
This is the worst fucking thing I could ever imagine.
Yes, I forgot how nasty this is.
So, yeah, in my head, I thought this scene went on a lot longer than it is. It's just so fucking horrific that it feels like it goes on a lot longer.
Yeah, so he runs back inside because, you know, that story earlier, he has to go save the person.
Yes, this is his character arc.
Yeah, so he goes back in there and he shoots up the dude because the guy thinks he's just going in there just to hang out. And
yeah, he's like, get your own fucking room, buddy!
Yeah. Hey, pal. Hey, what's up, man? Instead, he just like shoots him up. And then we see that he's had a blowtorch and is just putting it all up in
Candace.
Her eye specifically. Like, right at her eye. And her eyeball is hanging out of her head. It's nasty. It looks so grotesque. The actor that played that part, it was in the feature there. Whenever she kept her eyes closed the entire time they were doing the makeup for that, and whenever she saw it for the first time, she cried. she said that she understands why her character commits suicide.
Yeah. Oh, I totally get it. Like, yeah. I do not have a survival instinct, I don't think, because every time I see these movies, I'd be like, I would just fucking kill myself. Yeah. Like, I do not have. If I was hurt that badly, like, I don't feel like that's my survival instinct, is to just not deal with it anymore.
I think realistically you would pass out from the pain in this situation.
I would hope so.
And to make matters worse, he doesn't know how to handle an eyeball hanging out of her head, so he just grabs scissors.
Okay, no, but hold on.
Yeah?
Hold on. I get the whole not knowing how to handle it, like, maybe it's just easier to get rid of this fucking thing. That would be one thing. But what's happening is she's screaming at him. And he's like, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. And then he picks up the scissors. And I'm like, if you don't know what she's saying, you don't assume that she's saying, hey, please cut my eyeball off and I will expel every ounce of pus that has ever been created.
Oh, man, this scene is so fucking gnarly. This is awful. Yeah, this is like the best effects in the movie, though.
Yeah, it's awful, but like in a good way. Oh, God, there's a spider.
Ah! Oh, where?
On the carpet. Right by your foot. It looks like a little crumb.
Right there?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I watched it move.
What am I going to kill it with?
Oh, God, it's moving.
Hand me the bat. Hand me the bat. Right behind you.
I'm trying.
Oh, my God, hurry.
Ah! Here you go.
Where did it go? Don't touch my leg.
Oh my God.
Oh
Where is it? Did it go?
Not you. You stop. Stop. Dude.
Just let the Roomba suck.
Oh my god.
Let the Roomba suck the spider out.
I don't know where it is.
I feel like it probably went underneath the dresser.
Well, it wasn't a big one, at least.
Yeah.
Was that all of this in the episode?
Yeah, I'm leaving it.
Why are you leaving this?
Because this is funny. Anyway. He gets her back out into the car. They run into no issues. They start driving. They get to an alleyway. He sees Svetlana, Natalia, and Alex and just fucking hits them. But they're being tailed by people from the place. So when those people drive through, they like finish killing off those three because they just run them the fuck over. They get to a point. They see the kids. The bubblegum kids. And he looks over at his giant bag of bubblegum.
Which was shown earlier whenever they were on the way to the factory in the first place. Because I guess that's used as like a common bribe tool.
Apparently. So he gives the kids this entire bag of bubblegum to kill the people tailing him. And these kids are the real mercenaries of the movie, honestly.
God, yeah.
If you think about it. Yeah. So we think they're going to make it to the train station, but then there's like, what is the word for it? It's not a roadblock, checkpoint.
Yeah, I think it was a roadblock.
Checkpoint type thing, or whatever.
It's a checkpoint, yeah.
But yeah, the cops are like beating people. So he's like, don't want to deal with this, especially now that he knows the cops are crooked. So they just like fucking run out of the car, run down the hill. They get to the train station and then Canna sees her reflection and she's just like, they can't. And she jumps in front of a train. The actress said it was really traumatizing to watch her body be mutilated by the train because they did like
her body went through a lot.
Yeah.
Just all the makeup and everything that they did to her character. She had definitely had the worst.
Yeah. But Pax uses the commotion that's caused by this to sneak onto a train. So her traumatizing a crowd of onlookers was not completely in vain.
Yeah.
So we're
almost at the bridge between, or like the fork where the alternate ending and the real ending is.
So the theatrical cut is, well,
first of all, he's on the train and he's sitting there going wherever, and he overhears the conversation that they had before with the man, the Dutch businessman, where he says, again, I prefer to eat with my hands. Which this fucking guy is eating salad in front of another person.
You just know he doesn't wash his hands very regularly.
No, that's, yeah, it's nasty. But he recognizes that he's there. So he gets off at the next stop with him. And here's where we have the fork.
So in the theatrical cut, he follows him to the bathroom. And like while the man is pooping, he drops the elite hunting business card underneath the stall. And the guy's like, oh shit, this is not good. And when he leans down to pick it up, Pax grabs his hand, cuts off the same fingers that are cut off on his own hand. He comes around to the stall, drowns him in the
in his toilet, shit.
In his own shit.
Yes.
Which that scene is even weirder now that like we know from behind the scenes that Prague toilets do not have water. So he was not.
They've traveled at this point. Okay. Yeah, they're in a different country, I believe, at this point.
So yeah, he does that, and then like he holds him up. He can see his reflection in the like trash basket thing behind him, and like it's a very similar shot to how Josh was killed, which not like Pax would know that, but
yeah, but it's for us.
Yeah, that is for us, and he just like slits his throat, and then he gets on a train and goes home, presumably.
Yep.
So that's how that ends.
So
in the director's cut,
the way that Eli Roth wanted things to be,
Eli Roth's vision is that when the businessman gets off the train, his daughter Saskia is waiting for him. Who she's waiting with, we don't know, because apparently that adult is no longer there after this moment.
Yeah.
So he follows them. They're going to go to the bathroom at the same time. And when he comes out, like way out of the bathroom, he sees a scalpel on the edge of the counter. And he's like, that's not normal. And so he goes out there. He's waiting for his daughter. He asks a couple women coming out if they'd seen a little girl in there. They're like, please stop talking to me. So he like he just decides he's going to duck in there. And he finds her teddy bear. And then he starts running around and he's screaming and he's looking for her. And then it cuts to a shot of Pax on the train holding the little girl, like covering her mouth because she's crying.
Yep. It's a really dark ending. And that's the reason why they didn't go with it. Test audiences, they thought that the ending was too like creepy and dark.
Well, so here's the thing. In the theatrical cut, he's getting his revenge. We're rooting for him. There's that symbolism of the businessman being killed the same way Josh was. Paxton kind of gets his growth arc, sort of. Like, you know, he couldn't save his friends, but he's at least going to avenge them, right?
Yeah.
In this cut, he is fully the monster.
Kind of. He's kind of taken this kid away from a monster. I mean, see his reasoning. It's not what you would need to, that's not the best way to go about this.
Yeah, but like he's a kidnapper now.
Contact authorities there.
Yeah.
Be like, listen, this man, I saw this man kill somebody. Like, please, let's get him now.
Yeah. So I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's, but I kind of like the dark nature of it. Like, I like things that are super fucked up, especially with endings that kind of leave you with this sense of like, holy shit, that was not cool. Like, it's nice. It's a nice little lingering feeling that you get from stuff like that. But I understand why they went with the other one. But that's the movie.
That's the movie.
All right. Do you feel any better after talking about it?
No, because there was so much of like, okay, they're back at this club. Okay, they're back at this club. Okay, they're back at this club. Oh, wait, why is it so easy for him to get through this warehouse?
I don't really think it's like easy for him. He's just like magically finding these places, you know? He's trying to get out. He's not trying to like
too
go to
convenient.
The...
convenient.
He just conveniently uses his environment. It wasn't convenient of him to go to the...
The more you try and justify this, the more I'm going to knock down my score.
Really?
Yes. You're not doing a good job.
You're knocking it down more?
Yes.
What are you going to rate it?
A 3.
A 3?
A 3.
Do you really think this movie's a 3?
I'm annoyed by it.
Okay, but think
Fine.
Here for a second.
3.5.
That's better. But...
The more you sit here and try and justify how it makes sense, makes it very obvious how it doesn't make sense. And you're not coming up with a feasible justification.
I'm going to bump mine up to an 8 because I really enjoy talking about this. I think that it's like an amazing display on effects. I don't necessarily think the story is strong. Like I said before, the characters are weak. The story's not strong, but...
The effects are great.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about with the guys over at Decision Reel. Like, this movie isn't meant to be a deep movie. It's not meant to have these characters that you're supposed
to
care about.
I do not have fun watching this the same way I have fun watching Pumpkinhead.
Those are two different types of things.
I know.
This movie is not meant to be fun.
I get that, but like...
And that's what I get from this movie. I get this sense of, like, doom, and I get this... I just get to see some really fucked up shit. It makes me feel uneasy. I like getting that feeling from horror movies. I like the fun horror movies. Those are amazing. But whenever I get actual shit like that, that's amazing.
I would be fine with feeling deep and uneasy at the end of it. I just don't like the beginning of it. It drags too much. It feels very unbalanced as a movie.
Would you rather be like more of like what we get in the back end? Or would you want that like more spliced in throughout the movie? Or?
Yeah. Okay. I want more of that roller coaster effect.
All right. Is this your change?
Yes.
Okay.
This is my change. This is what I would change. I would alter some of that just to make the pacing a little bit less tedious.
Okay. So what's our final thing?
5.75.
A little bit better.
So we went up 0.25.
Okay.
Talia had a lot to say about this movie. So Travis decided at 18 minutes in he needed to take out the trash. And Talia was like, cool, I'll go with you. And then she went out there and the neighbor's dog was out in their front yard. So she ran over to their front yard and peed in their yard.
Yep.
Like, it's fine. Ellie was cool with it.
And I was walking away and Ellie like walked over to the spot and was like, what the fuck, dude?
And then Travis comes back in, sits down, starts the movie, and at 19 minutes, Talia hits her button to go outside and poop, except she just goes outside and stands. And then at 22 minutes, she made us check under the couch twice for her toys, because the first time we checked, we found a toy. And then she was like, maybe there's more toys under there. Please check again. And there were not more toys. And then she fell asleep and had like kicking, running, sleep barking dreams. So
I take some good from that. I think that that's a good response.
Yeah, no, I think Talia gives this maybe a solid 7.
Yeah, I think she enjoys what it was going for. She had fun.
She did. She had fun.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, internet review.
Okay.
All right, so I got one. Oh, wait, we also have reviews from listeners also. But I'll start off with the internet review, and then we'll just kind of take it from there.
Wait, do the listener reviews first, because those are usually more favorable towards them, maybe.
Yeah, they're kind of. Okay, so got our man M. Feldman again.
All right, what's up?
He says, loved it. Close look at Dark Hobbies of the Crazy Rich, and then a lot of emotes, like all of like the tools used to kill people.
I like that interpretation of it, and I do think that the next two movies in the trilogy explore that a little bit more skillfully.
They take that premise and they run with it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next one was from... This is from, on Twitter, Narcotic Casserole.
Hey, what's up, man?
Mutant fam. All right. He says, definitely a trial to get through, but fortunately, Eli Roth understands the importance of a good payoff, and damned it, the end of this one didn't feel satisfying. Sorry, I fucked that up.
I agree with that. It is a satisfying ending. The theatrical cut is a satisfying ending. And I mean, you know, like you said, Eli Roth does know how to give a good ending. A good, impactful ending. I think about the ending of Cabin Fever, where the one guy gets just shot.
Yeah, that's a great ending. Yeah.
Like, so I do agree with that, and obviously I also agree with the fact that it is kind of a trial to get through. I just think you could completely ignore the first 30 to 45 minutes of this movie and you would not have missed much.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna disagree with that. I think I agree with that. Okay, so I found the user internet review here.
All right,
so this one says, Hostel is a low-budget horror film that has a gimmick. The film messes with your mind, and the effect is sadness and anger. Is this what truly happens to people who are denied their wants? There is torture in the viewing experience. The film makes you want to go out and plant daisies and attend church right away. Its effect is brutally painful. If Hostel is trying to state something, it is how we fall victim to desire and dwell in it, damaging those we seek for temporary fulfillment. Be careful, for today's pleasures can be tomorrow's suffering. The film is a cesspool of lust and torture, a sadomasochist twisted fantasy, and director Roth places you right in it. No thanks. Yet, it had a big opening weekend and has developed a semi-cult following with the Bush generation. I don't understand that. But what every horror film should strive to be. So I give it 1 for that achievement. Which is kind of funny because they've basically are like singing the praises like, this is a great horror film. I hate it. You know?
I mean, it, like I said, Eli Roth is a technically good director. Like, I'm not faulting him for that. I just don't personally want to watch the entire movie. You know what I mean?
That's fair. I get it. I mean, it's not everybody's bag.
Yeah,
it's fine. I totally understand. I like it though. So, all right, we already did the change. Do you have a dream sequel, or I mean, this movie already has sequels, so we don't necessarily have to do that.
I know we don't necessarily have to do it, but I guess it would kind of depend on what ending we were thinking about.
Let's take it with the intended one, like what he wanted originally. Let's see. How would you want him to continue on with that girl?
I really don't know what I would want him to do. I do not like that ending. I do not like him kidnapping a child.
It's really dark. The best case scenario, she goes to a foster home.
She becomes one of the bubblegum gang kids.
Ooh, okay. And then we get a spinoff. She
seeks revenge for her father.
I like it. She takes out the people at the Big Hunt organization. Okay.
Elite Hunting. Big Hunt.
I don't know. I was blanking. I was trying to get it. Okay, I like that. All right, who'd you relate to?
I mean, Paxton's whole random...
Oh, yeah.
Like, childhood trauma. Like, hey, we're having a good time. Did I tell you about why I dissociate every other night?
Fair. Okay, I can see it. I'm going to choose the kids because they were into, like, the whole... They were basically...
also murder for bubblegum.
They're basically, like, playing trick-or-treat 24/7.
Trick-or-treat on hard mode.
Exactly, yeah. It's fun, you know? They make their lives interesting there, so... And they like candy. I like candy. That's what it would be.
Great. We gave you all our socials at the beginning. I'm not going to do it again.
Nah.
I'm going to say we should have our schedule up by now, by the time that we're releasing this. But next week we will be here with, I think we're going to go with Stay Alive. Is it Stay Alive or Stayin' Alive?
Stay Alive, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stayin' Alive is the Bee Gees song. Stay Alive because Amy, shout out Amy, she emailed us and she was like, hey, just got to your House of Wax episode. I know you've talked about Matt, hold on. I wrote his name down. See, I can't do names without looking at him.
I'm talking about
Matt Chukri.
Yeah.
Who played Logan, and he was also the mayor's son in Eight-Legged Freaks. And then we talked about Jared Padalecki, who played Dean on Gilmore Girls and was in House of Wax, and how I was joking that I wanted to get Milo Ventimiglio. I will practice his name before we get to this. But I wanted to find a horror movie that he's in so that way we can have all of Rory Gilmore's boyfriends. And she was like, hey, found this horror movie that he's in. And I was like, you know what? Looks like we can rent it on Amazon for $4. Think that's what we're going to do next week.
Yeah, so, thank you so much. And yeah. It has Frankie Muniz.
So that's probably what's going to be coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we haven't seen it before, but, you know, email your requests. Like, if you have a movie you want us to cover, just let us know. We'll gladly cover it.
Yeah. Well, so. Maybe. I can't guarantee. Like, if we get a ton of requests, it might be hard, but.
Well, true. But, yeah.
We will definitely weigh them. We will look at them. We will consider them.
Yeah,
we'll talk about them. Yeah.
Let us know.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bless you.
Thank you.
He has a little moment where he.
I had my finger up because I was going to sneeze again.
Yeah.